Size 15, sir.
Right. Take this man away and get him, he snapped his fingers irritably. Clothes. Everyone wears them. Sand-coloured.
Uniform?
The corporal blinked. For some inexplicable reason, the word bone kept elbowing its way into the melting, flowing mess that was his consciousness.
Right, he said. It's a 20-year tour, Legionary. I hope you're man enough for it.
I like it already, said Death.
I suppose it's legal for me to go into licensed premises, said Susan, as Aunt Morpork appeared on the horizon again.
Squeak!
The city slid under them again. Where there were wider streets and squares, she could make out individual figures. She thought, if only they knew I was up here. And despite everything, she couldn't help feeling superior. All the people down there had to think about were, well, ground-level things, mundane things. It was like looking down at ants. She'd always known she was different, much more aware of the world, when it was obvious that most people went through it with their eyes shut and their brains set to simmer. It was comforting in a way to know that she was different, the feeling wrapped around her like an overcoat. Binky landed on a greasy jetty. On one side, the river sucked at the wooden pilings. Susan slid off the horse, unshipped the scythe, and stepped inside the mended drum. There was a riot going on. The patrons of the drum tended to be democratic in their approach to aggressiveness. They liked to see that everyone got some. So although it was the consensus of the audience that the trio were lousy musicians and therefore a suitable target, various fights had broken out because people had been hit by badly aimed missiles or hadn't had a fight all day or were just trying to reach the door. Susan had no difficulty in spotting Imp E. Killin. He was at the front of the stage, his face a mask of terror. Behind him was a troll with a dwarf trying to hide behind it. She glanced at the hourglass. Just a few more seconds. He was really rather attractive in a dark, curly-haired sort of a way. He looked a little elvish and familiar. She'd felt sorry for Wolf, but at least he was on a battlefield. Imp was on a stage. You didn't expect to die on stage. I'm standing here with a scythe and an hourglass waiting for someone to die. He's not much older than me, and I'm not supposed to do anything about it. That's silly. And I'm sure I've seen him before. No one actually tried to kill musicians in the drum. Axes were thrown and crossbows fired in a good-humoured, easy-going way. No one really aimed, even if they were capable of doing so. It was more fun watching people dodge. A big, red-bearded man grinned at Leas and selected a small throwing axe from his bandolier. It was okay to throw axes at trolls. They tended to bounce off. Susan could see it all. It had bounced off and hit Imp. No one's fault, really. Worse things happened at sea. Worse things happened in Ankh Morpork all the time, often continuously. The man doesn't even mean to kill him. It's so sloppy. That's not how things should go. Someone ought to do something about it. She reached over to grab the axe handle.
Squeak!
Shut up. Whoom. Imp stood like a discus thrower as the cord filled the noisy room. It rang like an iron bar dropped on a library floor at midnight. Echoes bounced back from the corners of the room. Each one bore its own load of harmonics. It was an explosion of sound in the same way that a Hogswatch Night rocket explodes, each falling spark exploding again. Imp's fingers caressed the strings, picking out three more chords. The axe thrower lowered his axe. This was music that had not only escaped, but had robbed a bank on the way out. It was music with its sleeves rolled up and its top button undone, raising its hat and grinning and stealing the silver. It was music that went down to the feet by way of the pelvis without paying a call on Mr. Brain. The troll picked up his hammers, looked blankly at his stones, and then began to beat out a rhythm. The dwarf took a deep breath and extracted from the horn a deep, throbbing sound. People drummed their fingers on the edge of the tables. The orang was sitting with a huge rapt grin on his face as though he'd swallowed a banana sideways. Susan looked down at the hourglass marked Imp E. Killin. The top bulb was now quite empty of sand, but something blue flickered in there.